We are going to look at a passage in 1 John today. We'll dismiss our children, though, for our children's gospel story time. Before we take a look at briefly at 1 John chapter 2, the song we just sang, the first Noel. Today, the French word Noel means Christmas. It simply means Christmas. It literally is, if you speak to someone who's French and you say Noel, they believe, you know, they hear that as Christmas. We say Merry Christmas. They say Joyous Noel. But that wasn't always so. Some believe that a reference to Christ is found in the word Noel, citing its supposed Latin root, natalis, meaning birth. Now, we should recognize the word natalis. We get our words prenatal and neonatal, right? Prenatal, a mother, prenatal care for a mother before she gives birth, and, of course, neonatal care for a newborn child. But there's also the belief that the association of Noel with Christmas wasn't always as clear as it is today. Looking back at the Middle Ages, we discover that Noel, or Noe, was an expression of joy. Either shouted or sung, it was used by Christians during Christmas as well as during other seasons and festivals. It wasn't until the 15th century that its Christmas connection was already well cemented. Vocal pieces from England and France survive, even to this day, that give us an idea of its use, the word Noel, in as a refrain which punctuated a song's verses. And so we sing, Noel, Noel. But we find that word in other Christmas songs also. The first Noel is perhaps the most popular and recognizable of these songs. And I've said this before, as I did last week and in the series I did last Advent season. These are songs that are so familiar to people that you run across. People, whether they are serious followers of the Lord Jesus or not, they know these songs. Our culture, our society is inundated at this time of the year, certainly, with these songs. Playing in the background, playing on the radio, in the shopping malls, in the stores. You can hear these songs being played. And people know these songs. So for you to know a little bit of the background and what the meaning behind these songs is, I think is a wonderful opportunity of opening a discussion about the true meaning of Christmas. And so we have the first Noel, and that word Noel being sung. Now, I mentioned that the word Noel is French, but the carol itself, the first Noel, is an English carol. And I found this kind of interesting, that the reason that we sing Noel, N-O-E-L, as opposed to the English, which was N-O-W-E-L-L, is because at the time that the song, the first Noel, became very popular in England as a Christmas carol, the French had conquered and were ruling England. And they said, no, you will use the word Noel, not Nowell, as the English would say. Now, as to that word, though, getting back to where it comes from, there are those also who believe that the word Noel derives rather from the language of ancient Gaul. If you know your ancient history, you know that Gaul was the name of the region that is now today France. But that the word Noel, in fact, derives from that ancient language and is the expression nubella, which means new light. It was a term used by the pagans of Northern Europe to mark the passing of the winter solstice and the return or the increase of daylight. Our ancient ancestors, those of us of Northern European ancestry, our ancient ancestors were very adept at marking the changes of the seasons and were fearfully aware every year as the sun's light decreased less and less. And even though they witnessed this event, this cycle, year after year, they couldn't help fearing that maybe this year, the light of day would continue to decrease until all was night. And the light of day, the sun, would indeed never be seen again. But then, the gospel came. The gospel, when the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news of the kingdom of God came with its proclamation of Jesus Christ as the light of the world. This expression, nubela, came to be understood in a whole new way. New light, true light, had come into the world. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And yet, without the transformative power of God the Holy Spirit at work in the hearts of men and women, the truth of Jesus' words, the words that he shared with Nicodemus that night when he, Nicodemus, came to Jesus asking to know more about Jesus. The words, the truth of Jesus' words become all the more evident without the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. The fear of literal darkness serves as a metaphor for the fear that spiritual darkness brings. But love, the love that only God can give to us and accomplish in us, love casts out fear. Look with me at 1 John, in chapter 2, beginning at verse 7. Beloved, I'm writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. Now, he's not talking about the beginning of time. He's not talking about the beginning of creation. He's talking about the beginning of the gospel. He's talking about the time since the gospel had been brought to them, his, John's readers, since they were given the gospel and the news of Christ as Savior and Lord and what he accomplished by his death and resurrection. It is from that beginning, the beginning of new life, that they had this commandment to which John is alluding. He doesn't tell us specifically what that commandment is, but we can sort of figure out from the rest of the context. He goes on to say, the old commandment is the word that you have heard. So it's been delivered to them. They know what he's talking about. And yet in verse 8, he says this. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. It is the light of Christ that shines in every child of God. Every child of God has the light of Christ, and that light remains in the world. Even though Christ has now ascended to heaven, the light of Christ remains in the world through the body of Christ, the church, his followers. He goes on in verse 9 to say, and this sort of gives us, right, the answer to the question, well, what is this exactly? What commandment is he talking about? Verse 9, he says, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. May God bless the reading of his holy, inerrant, inspired, and sufficient word. I'll say a bit more about that. But it is curious, isn't it, how John gives us sort of this juxtaposition of terms. He says that this is no new commandment, and then he says, you know, virtually in the same breath, at the same time, it is a new commandment. And you wonder, you know, what exactly is he getting at? This commandment, of course, is love. The commandment to love. Now, understand that we have Jesus giving us different facets of this love to command. We have places where Jesus will tell us, love your enemies. We have other places where Jesus says, quite directly, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. In John's gospel, however, John focuses on Jesus' statements that we are to love one another, the brethren, our brothers and sisters in Christ. His focus, not to exclude the other, but John's focus in his gospel and as well as in this his first letter, he focuses on Christ's command that we love one another. What did Jesus say? He says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And so the term he uses, brother, sister, in a neutered sense, he's speaking of those who are fellow believers in Christ. But it's a new commandment. It's no new commandment, and yet he says at the same time, it is a new commandment. Indeed, it is a new commandment. And I think for three brief reasons I can share with you. I think he says it's a new commandment because if we are indeed in Christ, if we are born of God in Christ, then first of all, we are always needing to be reminded of our place with Christ. My relationship to Christ is wholly dependent on God's grace. Not by works of righteousness which I do, but according to his mercy he saved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. My relationship to Christ is wholly dependent upon God's grace. And I need to be reminded of that relationship with him. My relationship with him is a relationship of love. John, further on in this letter of his, says that we love because he first loved us. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I don't think he's giving us a test of well, you know, you love me by keeping my commandments. No, he's simply giving us, this is, the fact of the matter is, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Because if you love me, it means you've been born of God, and if you've been born of God, your new nature means that your desire will be to keep my commandments. we need to be reminded of our place with Christ. And indeed, if we are in Christ, we are always growing in becoming more like Christ. We are always growing, becoming more like Christ. And so it's good to be reminded of this commandment in particular. Because Jesus said, right, the command to love really does embody all the law. The law, it's now referred to in the New Testament as the royal law, the law of Christ to love. Going back to where Jesus says, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Again, remember, God doesn't need anything from us. He needs nothing from me. There's nothing I can do for God. So how do I love him? I can say, I love you, God, but how do I prove my love for God? It is by loving my neighbor. It is by loving my brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why Jesus joins the two. In the Old Testament, those two commands were separate. One in Deuteronomy, the other in Leviticus. But Jesus brings them together. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. We are always growing to become more like Christ. And that was the essence of what Christ Jesus, his life on earth was. Love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's because of the love of God for you and for me that Christ willingly went to the cross, because of the great love with which he loved us. And so, if we are in Christ, we are always needing to be reminded of our place with Christ. We are always growing to become more like Christ. And then thirdly, we are always confronting challenges as we follow Christ. And so we need to be reminded. Love the brethren. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, the new light, the true light of Christ. And in him there is no cause for stumbling. Jesus says virtually the same thing in John's gospel. He is the light of the world. As long as he is in the world, his light remains. But when Christ left, he left us. His Holy Spirit abiding in us, to be a light to the world. We will always face challenges confronting us as we desire to follow him. We don't suffer persecution in the sense that our brothers and sisters in Christ in other places in this world do. But we are always facing some sort of challenge, whether it's sin within, sin without. I need to be reminded. I need to see this as a new commandment coming to bear afresh on my life. I am to love. I am to love God. I am to love my brothers and sisters. I am to love my neighbor. I am to love my enemy. I am to love. As I follow Christ, as I make it my desire to please him, as I follow Christ Jesus, he is the new light. He is the true light. Light that's come into the world. And so it is that in no greater way is the light of Christ seen in us than by our love for others. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your grace that saves us. And thank you for your Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit who indwells us and enables us. And we thank you for the command to love, which directs us and gives us concrete, points us in a way that we should go, the way of love. May it be so. And may we take opportunity to show love for others around us this Christmas by sharing with them the reason we celebrate. By sharing with them the Lord Jesus. We can demonstrate love in no greater way than to share Christ with others. May it be so. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.